I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports to the Max. Jay Foreman played at the University of Nebraska. He follows it closely. The Gophers play Nebraska. Jay's a standout there, went on to the NFL. His father, Chuck, we had on last week, the great Minnesota Viking. Jay, always good to connect with you. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
We're doing just fine. Tell me what we're... You know, I watched that game the other night against Michigan, and I go, Nebraska's got a little something going here. It's hard to explain because they've been down for a couple years, and then this year you look at the record and you say, eh, maybe, maybe not. But when you watch them, you go, you know, they look like they're on the cusp of maybe be, you know, moving into that next level. What's it feel like in Lincoln?
I mean, that's everybody's, you know, waiting for it to, I guess, pop per se. And, you know, which is, you know, reap the fruits of your labor where you play, you know, in some instances, you know, better than, you know, Michigan, a top 10 team, you know, for 55 minutes out of the 60. And, you know, Michigan State, one bad punt, and then Oklahoma, you know, battling some outside influences. But, so I think that most people in Lincoln are you know, happy that they can see tangible progress, which is, you know, turn the TV on and it's consistent, you know, as far as effort and execution and plan. I think now they want to, you know, obviously you always want to, you know, get rewarded for, you know, those things I mentioned, you know, previously.
Scott Frost, you know well. What kind of a coach is he? How do you describe him?
Oh, well, he's competitive, which is, you know, obviously, you know, just you can't get to the pinnacle where he's at as a coach or a player and not be competitive. So, you know, he's a competitive dude, very, you know, thorough coach. He's, you know, believes in what he, you know, what he's coaching. And, I mean, you know, he's an honest dude, straight up. He cares that he, you know, there's one thing I will tell you. He cares immensely about his players, which is obviously, I think, you know, something that's not the norm, I'd say, per se, you know, as far as like the way college football is. But
Explain that to us a little bit, Jay, because you know this. You know what you're talking about when you talk about this, and maybe people from the outside looking in don't understand what you mean by that unless you're inside sports. But explain how some coaches, you're more a number maybe than you are a person.
Yeah, I mean, Scott will stick up for his players. He's not going to turn his back on them if they make a mistake. He's trying to grow them into young men, as well as obviously the best football player that they're willing to, they're willing to be. So, you know, look, that's something in itself right there that's, you know, impressive. So it's just, look, you know, it's few and far between, like I said, the coaches this day and age that really care about their players and, you know, and he's one of them. And I think it's, you know, look, it's starting to show where you have a team that's, you know, been down for so long and they haven't won. Now you look at it now where, the, you know, you can see some real tangible progress. So I think it's a pretty cool deal for him. But obviously we want to, you know, win some games and then go from there.
You know, the Martinez kid we saw as a freshman against Minnesota, and he destroyed them. He owned the day. He owned the game. And I said earlier this week, I said, when I watched that game, you said, okay, there's the best quarterback in the conference for the next 3 years. I don't know who's second, but there's the best one because he literally ran the show. Now, Minnesota's defense was on the cusp of firing their defensive coordinator and turning their season around because of that. But he was so good as a freshman, and then he lost some of that electricity for a couple years, and now it looks like it's come back. What happened to him? Take us through the timeline of what he was when he got here and what he is now.
Well, I think he took it, you know, took the Big Ten by storm, you know, which is, you know, the new quarterback and, you know, new regime with Scott and those guys. And look, yeah, we had a good offensive line around us, NFL running back and two. We had an NFL receiver and J.D. Spielman was pretty good. So we, you know, we had some, you know, tangible pieces around him to make his transition, you know, a little bit easier. And then the pressure became where he had such an outstanding freshman year. Then, you know, they had him up for the Heisman and all that. And then, you know, those guys went on to the NFL. And now he went from being like the third or fourth guy that you might have to prepare for, even though he's a freshman quarterback, to the guy without, you know, established help around him. So it was a little bit of bad circumstances, you know, as far as after that. And then, you know, we had Luke McCaffrey as a backup quarterback. And as you know, up in Minnesota or just anywhere, that everybody loves the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And so he has to go and play.
Yep.
And it all worked itself out. I think Adrian got to reset a little bit, refocus, and, you know, he was definitely competitive, which I like. Look, he took it in stride. He didn't sulk. He didn't stop being a leader. I think he had extreme confidence in himself that when he got another chance, he was going to, you know, never, you know, go through that again. And that's where you've seen, you know, for the last quarter of the season last year through now, you've seen him be pretty consistent. Now, granted, there's been some turnovers, some big plays in the negative way, but for, you know, it's 99% good to great quarterback play, and that's what he's capable of. And, you know, everything that he's done or doing right now, he deserves and to work for. So, you know, I'm happy for him just as a kid and then also a football player on top of that.
Jay Foreman is our guest, former Nebraska star, played in the NFL for a long time as well, grew up here. You look at the Gophers, and they're down to their third running back. Put on your defensive mindset helmet there. How do you attack Minnesota defensively knowing they're down to their third running back? What do you try to do if you're Nebraska's defense?
Well, first and foremost, Minnesota's done you know, look, they've recruited well, so just because they're down to their third running back doesn't mean, you know, he can't tote the pill. And they got a big old offensive line. And, you know, so they're going to do that. They're not going to, I'm assuming they're not going to just change their offense and go to Air America because, you know, they had an injury injuries in the running back room. I think they're going to do a little bit more of the same. And then maybe, you know, they got a bye week. So, you know, you can see maybe some trick plays,
yep,
and different formations. But at the end of the day, you can't do that for four quarters. So you got to, you know, Nebraska's got to be good defensively, you know, with their eyes and rules and fundamentals, tackle well, and, you know, bring the heat to Minnesota and take control of the game. So for, you know, it's a big challenge because they got some big old boys. They always say they got those big old boys from probably the Iron Range up there in Minnesota, except for the big one they got from, I think, Australia, which is almost like 400 pounds, but
yeah,
doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
So, look, it's going to be a Big Ten smash-mouth type of game. Minnesota's going to come in rested. And, you know, look, they've been able to prepare for Nebraska for an extra, you know, 3 or 4 days. But at the end of the day, Nebraska's sword is pretty sharp as far as being battle-tested. And, you know, I envision and hope that they come up there, you know, pissed off and ready to, you know, win this game.
When you played at Nebraska, obviously, national championship, how many great running backs did you have? You know, we only saw the starters, but how many great running backs did you have? I mean, how deep let me put it to you this way. How deep did you go with guys that you thought would run for over 100 yards if they were put in the lineup?
At least 4 or 5 deep. I think at one time we had Lawrence Phillips, Amon Green, Damon Benning, Clinton Childs, so that's 4. And then the 5th guy was a guy named Jay Sims. And if you go back to watch 1995, he had 2 carries for 80 yards. And I think when we did all our testing, if he wasn't the best out of all the guys in that running back room, he was one of them. So we went 4 or 5 deep, and, you know, that's what you envision in Minnesota is. Look, when there's always the thing is, like, you could go from you know, sitting on the bench, you know, tasting Gatorade to starting and having the pressure to, you know, carry the pill, you know, 20, 25 times, based on, you know, somebody gets injured. So, you know, you always got to prepare for their best. Minnesota's going to be ready. Whoever is going to be starting, you know, this is their opportunity to, you know, lead the bigger things. And so, you know, that, you know, they're going to come in well coached and well prepared. And you know, you just got to, you know, withstand their surge and then create your own surge as well.
Now, the transfer portal is changing. You know, you're not going to have four or five deep because if a guy's that good, he goes, I'll go play somewhere where I can play. Gophers lost a lineman that was an honorable mention Big Ten 2 years ago, wasn't playing as much, so he decided to leave this week through the transfer portal. You see in McCaffrey, you mentioned in Northern Colorado, it goes on and on. Do you like the transfer portal in general that kids can say, hey, man, this isn't working out for me and I'm good enough to play over here? Do you like what it's done to college football, or has it hurt college football?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. I think the idea behind it was really good. I think now it's used as, like, not every case, but it's used as a bargaining tool to, you know, hold the coaches, you know, feet to the fire to play me, or I'll go in the transfer portal. You know, it makes kids have the ability to be impatient, and it allows kids to, you know, I'll say this. I think overall, in general, across America, and this is, there's a high number, a high percentage of kids that enjoy getting recruited versus enjoying being coached and playing football or any collegiate sport. So I like it and I don't. I think if there was some regulation into it or some education into it, I think it would be, you know, almost close to perfect. But right now, I think it's a free for all because I think the majority of guys that go into the portal don't have a place to go and don't have a reason to go. It's almost like they're making a lateral corporate move. You know, they're not, you know, getting any more playing time or anything like that. They're just, you know, just going another place and getting recruited and then showing up and knowing that they have to, you know, you got to compete against guys that are just as good as you or were ranked just as high as you. You got to, you know, you got to go out there and earn it. Nothing in football is given. You got to go take it, and sometimes you got to be patient, and then you got to be ready to take advantage of your opportunity when you get it. And then, you know, and that's what separates, you know, guys from making it and not making it, let alone schoolwork and time management.
Now, the NIL money that's, you know, available or flowing, if you can find it, et cetera, how has that affected Nebraska football? Have you seen anything from it?
You know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, your best advertisement or whatever is your ability to play good football. And I haven't seen anything in a negative way. I've seen some guys, you know, get, you know, hear about them getting some deals, but nothing that they're like, hey, you know, we're, you know, it's, I don't envision anything taken away from, the way that they've played or prepared or effort. So I think it's all been a positive. I'm all for kids taking advantage of their opportunity, but, you know, ultimately the best opportunity or the best thing that they can do is play good football because the rest will take care of itself.
But you guys would have made a killing back in your day as well as you guys were playing at that time.
Oh, yes, sir. We would have been doing some, you know, good deals, and, you know, we would have probably maybe had a lot of free foods and steak and stuff like that. but, you know, look, timing is the time, and, you know, I'm happy for these guys to take advantage of it.
Jay Foreman is our guest. We had your dad on last week. I didn't realize when he went to Miami they had him as a tight end, a linebacker, and eventually – a running back. But you think about, you know, that fine line between what if somebody would have said he's a good, he's a decent tight end as opposed to he's a great running back. Who decided that you were a linebacker when you went down to Nebraska? Was that going in, you knew that, or did you start out at running back and get shifted? How did that work?
I think, well, there's two things that decided it. Number one, we had a running back here named Lawrence Phillips.
Yep.
You know, if he had kept his head on straight, I think he would be one of the best of all time. That kind of was in the decision-making. And, you know, to be honest with you, everybody kind of always looked at me as an offensive player just because of who my dad is.
Sure.
And, you know what he was as a football player. Nebraska was open to me to play in defense as well. I'd played a game or two in high school of defense, and I always was intrigued by it. and I didn't want to, you know, cut block for 4 years. I felt like I was a good football player, and I never had played defense. And started out, you know, looking at the safety position, and we had three or four NFL guys, and just recruited, you know, a couple, or not a couple, like three or four DBs in my recruiting class. There wasn't any linebackers in our recruiting class, and Kevin Steele, who, you know, is a longtime defensive coordinator in college and professional coach, was like, heck, you want to play linebacker? You know, we'll see what you can do. You got a little bit of frame that we could, you know, they say you can put some muscle on. And, you know, I was always down for, you know, look, I was happier than a fat rat to be at Nebraska. Played a little linebacker, loved it. You know, I'd always watched, you know, a ton of Sunday football and,
sure,
you know, through the ice, I always throw the pillow up and go tackle it on the couch like I was, you know, Dick Buckus or something like that. And, you know, one thing led to another, and there was a senior there when I redshirted, and nobody else behind him that had played. And, you know, I went in there and competed my tail off and prepared, and next thing you know, I'm starting as a redshirt freshman on arguably the best college football team ever. And then the rest is history. So it was dumb luck, chance, and the openness, if that's a word, by me to play football. You know, my dad always told me, look, it's, you know, you might go to college or might play, you know, certain position in high school, go to college to be something totally different. If you're a good football player, you know, you'll just love, if you want to go out there and compete, you'll go out there and play. And so I never was like some of these guys that, or some of these kids these days that, you know, from the time they're in the sixth grade, they're a quarterback, they're a running back, they're a receiver, and that's all they do. You know, my dad never let me pigeonhole myself into something like that, so I have to thank him for it. But I was definitely open to it, and I loved the game of football, watched a ton of football with him. I was also fortunate enough to be a ball boy. I always say that I'm the OG of ball boys. Larry Fitzgerald is probably the most famous ball boy.
Yep.
But I was the OG. I was the first one. I broke the seal.
Who was on the team when you were a ball boy?
Chris Carter had just got there. Hassan Jones, who was,
yep,
I would say Anthony Carter and Hassan Jones. And Hassan Jones was there. Reed was there. Jake Reed.
Yep.
Steve Jordan was there.
Yep.
And I've been knowing those guys ever since. And, you know, Keith Millard and John Randall was there when I used to give him little weights to put in his girdle so he could weigh in heavy. Norman was there. You know, those guys, Carl Lee, you know, those guys. I'll tell you what, I was fortunate enough to be around that at a young age, but I learned a lot football-wise. And they were all great to me. You know what I mean? They were really, really, you know, respectful to me, and they kept up with me. Heck, there's a story that, you know, I had big old feet and was skinny, and I could never find cleats. And Steve Jordan gave me two pair of cleats, and, you know, I wore those all through high school. And, mm-hmm, you know, so those are the things you never forget. You talk about learning how to be a pro and give back, you know, that's it. And you know, obviously one thing led to another, but, you know, I learned the game. I watched how it worked. I was, you know, in a couple meetings just because I was bringing them Gatorades or something, but I always kind of made sure that I, you know, stayed in there and learned a little bit there, and I just love being around the, you know, game of football, and I love to compete. So, you know, I was very, very fortunate, you know, of the things that I was exposed to, obviously with my dad, from my dad being a great football player, but I definitely took advantage of it. And he made sure that I, you know, had the right mindset. We never talked about, like, people always like, oh, did your dad teach you how to play football or nothing? He always talked to me about, you know, doing the right thing, being a good teammate, and playing as hard as you can. Maybe he knew after that the rest of take care of itself,
yeah,
but he kept it real simple for me, and I'm very appreciative of that to this day.
Jay, appreciate it very much. Always good to visit with you. I'm going to send you a text. I got a quick question for you. But always fun to talk football with you, and I hope you're up here. Are you coming up this weekend or not?
I am, man. We're going to, the Big Red is coming, baby.
Is it coming hard?
We're coming, baby. We're going to come up in there and roll hard up there and do what we need to do.
Well, you're going to be the tour guide.
So I'm excited, you know, for the team to go up there and play Minnesota, and hopefully come out with a victory.
All right, Jay, I hope I see you at the game. Thank you so much for giving us some time tonight.
All right, man, thank you.
You bet. Jay Foreman, nice enough to join us at News Talk 830-WCCO.
football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.